You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Oh, Ever be But your word says that a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Lord, your word also tells us that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, you give us a remedy for everything. You are the remedy. You are the solution, Lord. And today we release, because of you, we release great joy over everyone, Lord, who is listening, who is receiving, who is tuning in today. The joy of the Holy Spirit is our strength. We can't muster that up. We can't bring it on ourselves. We can't convince ourselves that joy is something I have to have, so here it is, and I do it. No, it's an internal product of the joy of the Spirit of God, because joy is a spirit. Joy is Holy Spirit living inside of us, even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of any pain or suffering, even in the midst of any loss, even in the midst of any circumstantial place in our life right now. And if we ever needed an inoculation of joy, a shot of joy, it's now. This pandemic's been going on for a long time, and we're first responders in the Spirit to you, Lord Jesus. And all of us need to be able to say, we can't do this without you.
That's right.
Every leader,
that's right.
Every governmental authority,
that's right.
Every scientist, every health professional,
yes, God.
Every person needs to come to the place, all of us, to say, we can't do this without you.
No.
Your inexpressible and unspeakable joy is for us to receive. And this is a proven scientific fact that those who walk in true happiness and joy from the Lord are healthier. They're able to move away from the stress hormones that are released in our brains. It's amazing. This is our inoculation ultimately from the Lord. Whether we're in India, whether we're in China,
yeah.
Whether we're here in America, whether we're in Brazil, whether we're in Ghana, wherever we are right now, we lift our voices and lift our eyes above. We set our heart and our mind on you, Lord. Not on loss, not on fear, not on anything that comes
right.
To steal, kill, and destroy. As we lift
right.
Our voices and our eyes to you, we say, you are deserving of all honor, glory, and praise.
Yes, Lord.
You are the one we commune with. You are the one that we hold fast inside of our hearts. You're the only one who is unshakable. You're the only one who is unbeatable. You're the only one who is completely strong and secure. And you do not change. You change not. You change not. You are the great I am who doesn't change. And you are the one, as we connect with you, you are the one who releases yourself in us. And this joy overtakes us. Children, this is for you. Adults, this is for you. For all of us. We pray that today is a day of great joy because Jesus is alive. Great joy because Jesus has risen. Great joy because he has prepared a place for us in the presence of our enemies. And he says, my cup in you will run over with peace, righteousness, hope, joy. Because I am who I am. I've got this. God says, I've got this. It looks like the world is spinning out of control. It looks like, how can I keep going with this? We can see light at the end of the tunnel, maybe from here, things that we hear on television, okay, on the news. Like, okay, the bans are going to lift. The country is going to be open. Things are going to happen. And that's true and that's good. But the Lord says, in the midst of that, let me bubble up inside of you. So this is a time during this serious pandemic. This is a time of serious joy. Serious joy, because for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross for us. So we are his prize. We are his reward. That's us, beloved. And as we are filled up with the Holy One, that the Spirit of the living God just bubbles up and fills up over us, that the fresh Holy Spirit anointing overtakes us. This is called fresh oil. As we put oil in a car so the car runs well. The Lord says, this oil of me runs over you and up through you no matter what. So we're going to transition into a time of communing with the Lord as we welcome you here all around the world. So glad you're joining us. This is our fifth Sunday that we have been online here, and we're just so pleased to be able to welcome and greet you. Someday we'll be able to give hugs up close and personal, even if we have to travel to see you overseas. But we will see you again, even beyond this. But we thank God for this opportunity to draw many in from the body of Christ, and even those who don't know you yet, Jesus. Everybody, we come in under the banner of our great God, because it's in you that we trust. It's in you that we live our lives.
Yes, Lord.
We trust in you. We don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge you, and you direct our paths. So we say, Lord, just have your way today. Just see yourself right now, just coming into the presence of Holy God. Just see yourself right now. Just say, God, I need more of you. I need what I'm hearing. I don't even know what it is or what to do. And I might be even crying right now from loss or pain or being let down or not knowing what tomorrow holds or worrying about your relatives or even some have lost jobs. Many have lost jobs. Some aren't able to put food on the table yet. Our God sees all of it. Our God in heaven knows every problem that we're facing. And he is the solution. He's the problem solver and the solution. So I say to you now, beloved, just close your eyes and just lift your heart up to the one who's right there with his arms, reaching out to give you a holy hug and say, I created you for this. I created you for a divine purpose. I created you to live in my holy dwelling. Under the shadow of my wings, you will find rest. Just give him your life fresh and new, and he will fill you up with himself. Just turn away from anything contrary to what you've seen, what you've heard this morning. Just say, no, not on my watch any longer. Here I am. I give myself to you. Give myself completely to you. I'm running into your arms. Take me as I am with all my weaknesses and problems. Take me. I give them all to you. I turn away from everything that is pulling me down underneath the tsunami. The Lord will lift you up. Jesus, make yourself real and known so that people today will say, I give you my life. I choose to trust you, to love you, to serve you, to follow you all the days of my life. And fill me up with your spirit, with your fresh oil. Holy Spirit anointing, fill me up. Fill me up right now. Fill me up. And I believe this amazing joy that I'm talking about will be your portion, will come and just take up residence inside of you and release through you. Yes, Lord, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. If that's you and you've responded in whatever way, just tell us. If you're online, just say yes and amen. Yes, I receive. Yes, I receive. I believe. I believe. That's our rescuing God. He meets us right where we are. And he loves you so much, beloved. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Be encouraged this morning as we continue on. As we transition into a time just communing even more deeply with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our reason for life, our reason for being, our reason for living. He is hope himself. He doesn't just give hope. He is hope and produces himself through us and releases. And we're able to have real hope, true hope, and not live in doubt, in fear, and everything that comes completely out of our mind alone. No, he rises up and saturates our thoughts with his thoughts, saturates our brilliant thinking with his brilliant thinking, saturates our emotions and heals the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, and comes in as Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Mapalti is the deliverer. He comes in and says, here I am, watch me. Just allow him to just breathe right now into you. Holy presence of mighty God right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Be blessed as we continue on. Just receive, beloved. And if you're just tuning in now, I urge you, go back later on today to the very beginning and just sit and receive the anointing that's involved in this amazing worship and then what's been said prior to this. Don't let this go. This is an amazing day. I believe there's been a shift and a turn in the Spirit with everything that we've been asking and standing for and trusting all of us as believers around the world. And I believe after the resurrection comes more. So now we're called into that resurrection life. And the Lord says, I've got so many wonderful things for you, beloved. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you want to be on our mailing list and you want to receive the encouraging words and videos, let your email be known there to us and we'll include you. We want to include everyone around the world who's we know about. So please let us know because we're with you. We stand together under the banner of our Lord and Jesus Christ. God bless you.
The word that I've been hearing in my heart and my spirit this morning has been remain. Remain in his love, remain in his joy, remain in him. Remain. Continue to exist, especially after other similar or related people or things have ceased to exist. Continue to exist. Remain. Stay in place that one has been occupying. Stay in place. Remain. Continue to possess a particular quality or fulfill a particular role. Remain.
Yes.
To remain, to continue to exist, continue to stay in place, and continue to possess.
Yes.
And that's just the word of the Lord that I feel this morning as we commune with him, that it's a call to remain in him, through him, with him, for him. Just like Pastor Mary Pat has been sharing already, that's how we remain in his joy. We remain in his love when we remain in him, the source of it all. So to continue to exist, continue to stay in place, and continue to possess is the Lord is calling us to this morning. And I just wanted to read as we prepare to take the elements this morning, just John chapter 15, several verses there where he's talking about remaining, and it connects in with being in full joy. The word of God says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he trims and cleanses every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must remain in the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must remain in me. We must stay. We must occupy. We must possess. We must stay in place. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a person remains in me, and I remain in him, then he produces much fruit. But without me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, then he is like a branch that is thrown away. That branch dies. People pick up dead branches, throw them into the fire, and they burn them. Remain in me and follow my teachings. If you do this, then you can ask for anything you want, and it will be given to you. You should produce much fruit and show that you are followers. This brings glory to the Father. I love you as the Father loved me. Now remain in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. In the same way, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have. Yes. I want your joy to be to the fullest. And that is verse 11. I want your joy to be the fullest joy. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's reminding us that as we remain in Him, we continue to exist beyond our circumstances. As we remain, as we stay in that place that He's called us to occupy, as we remain in Him, as we continue to possess the role and the place that He's put us in, that is how we continue to commune with Him. That's how we continue to partner with Him and sit in His presence. He's calling us to remain and to sit in that place with Him. So this morning, as we take the elements together, reminding ourselves of who we are in Him and what He's calling us to today, is that we want to remain. As we take communion today, that let that be the declaration of our hearts. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I want to remain in You so that I can remain in all things that You are. And through that, I can have fullness of joy. Through that, I yes. can have the fullness of joy that You have called us to live out. So as I pray, I just thank You, Lord. Thank You, Holy One, for Your word this morning, Father. And that we choose to remain, Lord. That we will continue to exist beyond, Lord God. When everything else sees us, Lord God, we will continue to exist in You, Lord. We remain, Father God. We choose to stay in the place that You have positioned us and called us to occupy, Lord God. We remain, Lord, in that place of Your heart, of Your love, Lord God. We remain in the joy of our salvation. We remain in the freedom of our deliverance, oh God. We remain in our healing, Lord.
Yes.
We thank You, Holy One. We thank You, Father, and as we remember You this morning, as You took the bread and broke it, Lord God, as You shed Your blood for us, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
That we would know and we would remind our bodies, our emotions, and all of us, Lord God, who You are, Lord. So we bless You, Lord. We thank You, Holy One.
Yes, Lord.
And we just continue to embrace who You are. And we continue to remain in You, Holy One. We continue to remain in You.
Yes.
Thank You, Lord.
Yes.
Thank You, Holy One. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your body that was broken. And thank You for Your blood that was shed.
Yes, Lord.
love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Be encouraged this morning, beloved, as we transition now into hearing and receiving more from the Word. Be blessed this morning.
Well, good morning. Hopefully you're encouraged by all of this worship and the communion time. And we want to continue to go to the Word at this time and be encouraged by the lives of people in the past that have depended on God in very difficult times. And so today we're going to look at the book of Joshua. You know, some of us want to be more prophetic. And actually, that starts here. This all is a prophetic word to us. Have we forgotten that this was all spoken by God to us? And so if you're wanting to be more prophetic, spend time in the prophecy, in the Bible. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2. We need a little bit of background today. I know you're going to stay with me the entire time. I just have a belief that you're going to drink this in, whether you're 4 years old or whether you're 74 years old. Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove. As far as I know, these two guys were not named. Unknown heroes. To spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. This is before they went into the promised land. They had to get ready to go into the promised land before they went into the promised land. We have to be ready. We have to remain, as was spoken today, in Jesus, abide in him, before we're ready to take territory, to take new territory. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. They needed to be boosted up in the Lord, in the commands of the Lord, and decide to do those commands, and then know that they couldn't do it without the Lord being with them wherever they go. So they're preparing to go into the promised land, and they send two spies into the major city of Jericho. And that's where we catch up with the account. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. The spies, for the ones going into the promised land, were spied on. They were caught in their spying. And it's like the enemy. He tries to catch us in our spying out of the promised land, of what God has already promised. The enemy tries to come and make sure that just doesn't happen, that we never make it to the promised land. We never get to really take a good look and see whether the Lord in us can overtake the enemy's territory. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, They shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Are you picturing this? She's hiding these two spies on the roof. They knew somehow that she would protect them. Someone of ill repute. Someone that didn't have a very good history. But they knew she was ready to protect them, ready to be obedient to God like they were being obedient to God. And she's in enemy territory. She's someone that had to believe God without all the trappings, without all the friends around, without all the encouragement. And she did. And they recognized that somehow, that they could trust her. She said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. She told them what the Lord wanted to let them know. The land was trembling because they were about ready to enter the area, the enemy's territory, and take it over. Just exactly the report that they would love to give back to Joshua, the commander, that the people are afraid, the leaders are afraid of this army that's going to come in across the Jordan and start taking the land. For we have heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth, the earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Hear this woman had heard what God had already done. She gave the report that the people's hearts were melting inside of them because they were afraid of the report of the mighty God, of the testimonies of the mighty God. And so she's asking that she be spared. She sees the favor on these men. She sees the favor on Joshua's army. She sees the favor on the people of God. And she wants to be part of their number. Save me and my household, because I don't want to be swept over as you take over the enemy's territory, as you kick him in the teeth. I want my household underneath the banner of the Lord. This is a total unbeliever coming under the banner of the Lord, receiving the salvation of God, simply because she had heard the testimony and believed in a foreign land. Then she let them down by a rope through the window. Maybe I jumped. So the men answered her. Verse 14. Our lives for you, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through a window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. And so incredible that they back and forth help one another and give the plan of the Lord. She gives them a plan to go to safety, to leave the enemy land to get back to give the report that the Lord has made the people, the foreign people, shake and their hearts melt because they have recognized the testimony of the Lord. And they give her the report how she can stay safe, quarantined inside the city of Jericho, if she'll just put with her household this scarlet cord out, showing the blood of Jesus is over that household, like it was on the portals of back in Egypt during the Passover for the people of Israel. And so she's going to come under that covenant. She's going to put that scarlet cord out and her household be quarantined in a house when the army sweeps in to take over the city of Jericho. And they make this covenant with one another. So the two men returned, descended, verse 23, from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." The move of God and his testimony. And now this woman's going to be quarantined when the army sweeps in. And this goes to chapter 6. And you're familiar with this account of Jericho. Chapter 6. They prepare. They go into the land in the other chapters. And now in chapter 6, they're going to approach Jericho. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. This is the reverse virus effect of the power of God. He has put them in such fear, they shut up the whole city. The wall is tall. How are they going to get over it? The doors are shut. How are they going to get in there? The whole city is quarantined, and within that city is a small household quarantined for the Lord. And so it's going to be a reverse effect. We're going to kick the enemy in the teeth right here with the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Now, when they approached that wall and they saw it all shut off, the gates closed, the walls high, they're like, "Wow, how do we get in here?" And God gives them a word. "See, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." They had a choice. Are we going to believe this, or should we go to some easier place to take over? "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns." Ram's horns. Like this. The priests had ram's horns like this before the ark. "But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." Here's the trumpets. The priests are going to blow these after they march around the city. "It shall come to pass," verse 5, "when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." So it's up to them whether they believe this can happen. "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed, march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout, Can you imagine in these days, with all the media that we have coming at us, everybody, off the internet, off the TV, off of the radio, all these sources and many more, everyone's talking, confusion, opposite sides of the spectrum of what they're saying. No, is the virus this? Is the virus that? Will it last this? Will it last that? Let's have this strategy. No, that won't work. Let's do this. Blah, 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 blah. What if we were silent and we just did what the Lord said? What if we didn't enter into that and didn't let it affect our hearts and bring fear, but just do what the Lord says? If we can hear His voice, that's the only voice we want to hear in all of this blah, blah, in all of this talk. In all of this confusion, we just want to hear His voice. And so Joshua is in the position of hearing the Lord's voice. He's the leader and those that support him. He's already been told, take courage, meditate on my word day and night. So he's doing it. So he is confident that he's hearing from the Lord. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. And so there wasn't supposed to be any noise until a certain point. Then they could shout with victory. Verse 11. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. Again, they look like this. Before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, looked like this, something like this. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day, can you feel it building in their hearts? We want to get to the seventh day when we can shout victory. We're in that period of time right now. But the difference with us is we can shout victory because of Jesus any day of the week, any time. We don't have to wait until this big rush at the end. We can say he's already conquered death. He's already risen from the grave, and the resurrected Christ lives inside of us, and it can trumpet from the inside into our hearts. It can be the shout of victory on the inside at any moment. And so what we can't see in the future is already inside of us right now in the present. The victory of the future is ours now. With them, they had to wait. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. They waited to hear that. They couldn't wait to shout the Lord's victory. By the time they marched around all those days on that seventh day, they were in anticipation. They were in expectation of something big is going to happen when we shout. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. They have not forgotten this one woman and her family. That's incredible. With all of this going on, with the word of the Lord released, with 6 days around the city, trumpets blaring, but no voices. And they're ready on the seventh day to shout the victory. In the middle of this account, Rahab is remembered for what she did for the two spies that went into the city. Incredible. God does not miss the individual. Now the city shall be doomed, we read that, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Do we know how this virus is going to be conquered exactly? No, we don't. But we're believing the word of the Lord that he has an explosion of evangelism to release on the earth before the end. And that we want to be part of that company of going to the ends of the earth. If he has decided that we're going to survive this virus because we're the ones that are going to preach the gospel across the earth, we want to be in tune with that. We want to be believers of that and not be fearing some virus, not fearing some high wall, thinking it's going to overwhelm us, or we can't get over this high wall, we can't defeat this city. God can flatten the virus. God can flatten anything that might come against his army. God can make a way that we just walk right in and defeat the enemy, kick him right back in the teeth and rescue those that are wanting to receive the scarlet cord of his salvation. He has it all planned for us to have the shout of victory. And we can start now. We don't have to wait for the seventh day. We can go ahead and shout the victory now, as I said, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he lives inside of us. And they utterly destroyed. Well, I said the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. We're going to conquer not only this virus, but the rest of the enemy's plans. We're his army in front of the worshipers. And then the priests. And then carrying the presence of the Lord in that company. And then the army behind. The warriors behind. Each one of us has a role. You've heard precious, sweet worship this morning. And many of you are going to be called to be the warriors to take the gospel across the earth. And worship across the earth. And the presence of God across the earth. And we're going to need more warriors behind to protect all of that from the enemy's plans. And he'll do it for us. Each one of us fulfilling our role. And maybe several roles. Some of you are in the army, but you're also worshipers. Some of you are worshipers, but you carry the presence of God to a place that you can release life on people. And they can get healing and deliverance and salvation in an amazing way. We don't just have one of these roles. Because of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have many of these things going on in our lives. We need to be ready, anticipating, expectant, abiding, as we heard earlier today, remaining in Jesus, standing strong in Jesus, that we can be part of this company that's going to see the walls of Jericho flattened. And we're going to kick the enemy back in the teeth for what he tried to do to the people on the earth. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. I think if you go there now, you can't find Jericho. Not the city that is the biblical city back then. There is Jericho there, but there's no walls up high. They completely just sank into the ground. Just boom, down, straight down. It's not like it fell over. It went straight down, absolutely supernaturally, amazingly supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. Mm. So they walk right in to the city, just like it's flat ground. First, there was a wall, then it just went into the ground. It didn't fall over. It went straight down. They walked straight in. Can you imagine the looks on those faces of the enemy? And that's what's going to happen with the enemy of our souls.
Oh, yes,
he's going to be in shock. Mm. He's been told Jesus is going to reign on the earth. But he keeps thinking he can beat God's plan. If I just do this, if I throw a virus across the whole earth, that'll do it. It won't.
Mm.
It won't. Because Holy Spirit's inside of us. He's going to have us hear. He's going to have us expect. God is going to flatten Jericho right in front of our eyes. Are you ready? Do you believe? Are you encouraged to see what God's going to do? And he's going to then completely cover the earth with the virus of the gospel, a good virus. And so many are going to be saved. They're already being saved in this season. We're starting to get reports of people coming to know the Lord because of the enemy trying to attack God's kingdom. And it's not working. He's going to be flattened. And the gospel is going to go forth and win so many more souls. Win so many more people because of the enemy's attack. That's the way God works. He does chess on so many levels and then wins all the pieces on every level. The enemy cannot defeat the plan of God. And we're going to see that. So we have some things coming up this week. 7 o'clock of Fire and Wind on Tuesday night. And on Friday night, we're going to have the drive-through healing rooms again. And we invite you to come to that. Even if you're not feeling sick, but you just want to be prayed for, you can drive through on Friday night from 7 to 8:30. And we'll be praying over you and your family. But I have one more thing I'd like to add to that for those that are willing to come. I would like to suggest that some of us come, if not all of us that are able to, listening to this Facebook Live, Instagram Live today, those that are able. If you're in India, you might have a little trouble making it. If you're in Africa, the same. But those that are in our local area, if you would come, and I think we're going to march around our land in representation 7 times of what God wants to do to defeat this virus. Now, the church isn't going to fall down. So, kids, that's not going to happen. We want the enemy to be flattened, and we just want a representation of that. And who knows, we might bring a horn or two and see what happens with that. We'll have the plans fall into place for that. But those that would like to come, I invite you to come. I'll be there. And I want to be at the front of the line, one of the warriors, or maybe just behind the front of the line as one of the worshipers, or maybe just behind that as one of the ones that carry the presence. Wherever I am in line, I just want to have this representation of the enemy being flattened as we kick him in the teeth. So come out for that on Friday night, and I think you'll be blessed as we all do that together, or those of us that show up do that together. And it'll be a prophetic sign of what's going to happen with this virus being flattened. And don't give up. Don't get weary in the battle here, because you don't want to miss the shout of victory in this battle. So don't give up. Don't be weary. Get prayer if you need prayer. Call us for prayer. Call one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord for prayer. Make sure that you're reaching out in this time. Don't start getting down because you're in the house alone or whatever's happening. Make sure that you call someone for prayer, and we'll be there for you and lift you up. And we're going after the enemy with all we have, and we're looking for that scarlet cord to come into many more households that the Lord will save in this season. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
As we close here, we want to end in worship here. Just a quick reminder that last Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, one of the verses that was spoken about after Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was resurrected was, "Peace be still, peace be with you. And just as I have been sent into the world, I send you." And those were the first words out of Jesus' mouth. So we are sent ones as soon as we receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And when Jesus, before he went to his death, and he was talking to his disciples in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he actually said, I just wanted to read this and finish with John 17, verse 19 or 18. It says, "As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world." And so we are sent ones. If you're able to make it out on Friday, we're still walking in confidence. If you need prayer, you will be in your car, and we will have people who will be ministering from a distance. If you need prayer for sickness, and if anyone else wants to come as we walk the perimeter of the land, we're not calling for a mass gathering. We're calling as believers to come out and be able to walk as part of that declaration. So anytime within that time period, you're able to come and you can join in that worshipful expression to see the walls of this Jericho come tumbling down. So remember that our Lord is worthy of it all. And we're going to go out singing, just as many in the Old Testament went into battle singing, that our worship before our King is just elevating him, not just, elevating him. And our worship is about him, for him, to him. It's not for us, it's for him. So this is a day of great joy to see how the Lord was working so beautifully in the Old Testament with that amazing account, which is for us today as sent ones. Rahab was a sent one, didn't even know it. And here we are under a new and better covenant, the blood covenant of Jesus, and we are sent ones. And so we enjoy this time with you and look forward to Tuesday night at 7. And we'll be sharing more updates from what we're hearing, not just locally and in this region and also in our nation, but also around the world. And again, if you weren't here in the beginning of this, we urge you to take the time at some point and go back and join us in our worship and the words that were released of hope to bring us into the place of abiding in the Lord, of receiving him in such a way that his great joy will begin to overtake everything that has tried to strip us of our courage, our safety, our wholeness, our lethargy, or anything, any aspect of who we've been created to be. The Lord says, "I'm going to come and release that from you through my unspeakable joy, my inexpressible joy and peace and righteousness, and that I will overtake you to be the greatest blessing where you are, whether you're out in the hospitals, whether you're at home, whether you're still working and you're able to be in a place where there are other people that you can encourage through the one who overtakes you, to be able to spill that as a holy virus of love, spill that into all the people and the places that need the touch of Jesus Christ. So we invite you to just worship with us as we close, and remember that Jesus is holy. And he loves us, and he's so pleased and proud that we will worship him in spirit and in truth. God bless you, and join us again 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. God bless you.
Oh,
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.